Hi, this is Brian Lewis. Before I hit play on today's episode, I wanted to make a quick announcement about the show. In the following weeks, leading up to DrupalCon Sydney 2013, I'm going to be hosting a series of podcasts with the track chairs and featured speakers of the conference. The Drupal Association asked if I'd be willing to take that on, and I said, of course. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And each episode is going to be quite a bit shorter, probably in the 15 to 20 minute range. I'm going to be picking back up with the official episode 50 immediately after DrupalCon Sydney. I just decided that because of the time and energy that goes into each podcast, instead of doing these alongside the regular show, I'm going to spend the rest of this month preparing for the holidays and spending time with my family. And then in January, I'm going to be preparing for the birth of my first child, which is due February 2nd, which I'm super excited about. But the show will continue to come out weekly. It's just going to be episodes geared towards DrupalCon Sydney. And then if you have any ideas about what to do for a reunion episode or episode 50, hit me up on Twitter at modsunraveled or send me an email, brian@modulesunraveled.com, or you can just use the contact form at modulesunraveled.com. Let me know what you think. I don't really know what I'm going to be doing, except showing off my new favorite person in the world, which would be my child. Anyways, here is Francesco Placella talking about entity translation in core.
Hi, everybody. My name is Francesco Placella, and you might know me from working on translation and language stuff in the 7 core and from maintaining the entity translation and title modules. This is episode 49 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host, he was voted most energetic in the 9th grade, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Francesco Placella. I knew I was going to mess that up. He's also known as Platch on Drupal.org, just P-L-A-C-H. Francesco is one of the core maintainers of the Drupal language system for Drupal 7 and Drupal 8, and deeply involved with content translation stuff, both in core and contrib. Today we're going to be talking about the fact that entity translation has been committed to Drupal 8 core, but before we jump in, Francesco, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, especially for the last part.
Cool. Do you want to tell us a little bit about you and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm from Italy, Venice. I'm the owner of a small web shop here, actually a Drupal shop. We are doing most of our stuff with Drupal. And I started doing Drupal in 2006. And I started working on real stuff, on core, etc. In 2009, around 2009. Hmm. The most recent projects I've been working on are the entity translation stuff and actually the title model, which is a complementary model for the entity translation one. I started to work on this stuff because in Drupal 6, doing multilingual websites was really hard, despite all the efforts brought on by Jose Reyero and the IATN team. And I decided to take the chance of Field API getting in core to try and improve our ability to build multilingual websites. And this is pretty much all.
Cool. No, that's awesome. Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump right into the translation. And we're going to start off with how it works in Drupal 7, and then we're going to talk about what's going on in Drupal 8. But how has translation been done in Drupal in the past?
Do you mean before Drupal 7 or after Drupal 7?
Maybe historically, like before Drupal 7, and then kind of what has been the progress in Drupal 7?
Okay, let's make a quick distinction. I've been involved mainly in content translation because actually making a multilingual website in Drupal involves three aspects: being able to translate its user interface, its configuration, and its content. I've been involved mainly in the last part. However, the translation models for Drupal 6 For configuration and user interface were more or less the same, although there have been many improvements, but the basics were the same. But in Drupal 7, we had a big change in the way we translate content because we introduced field translation, the concept of field translation. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is the first part I was involved in Drupal Core. And basically, the idea was to introduce language support, native language support for the field API. This meant that we now are able to translate an entity and not only a node, because in Drupal 6 and before, we were able to translate only nodes. Hmm. And we are not forced to create a new node every time we have to enter a translation. Okay, we are able to create translation within the same node or within the same entity if we are translating a different entity. And this is a big win, although there are still some concerns about this model, mainly related about, to access control, because we have all the node access stuff that is tightly related to nodes and to the node translation model. But we are trying to work it out so that in Drupal 8 it will be not as problematic as it is now in D7.
Okay, so from field translation, why did you guys decide that we needed to do entity translation? Like, what holes does that fill?
Actually, node translation, as I was saying, node translation is really cool when you have to make every language behave in a separate and distinct way, but if you have highly replicated sites that are going to behave in mainly in the same way in every language, it's kind of difficult to implement that with not translation, because it's hard to share data between translations. So to make an example, if you have a sign up, it's difficult to synchronize the synapse for the various languages. Actually, you have to synchronize them. Instead, with field translation, you just translate the textual description of the synapse, and all the stuff is already shared. This is one advantage. Maybe the biggest advantage is that you don't have a different identifier for every language. This allows to relate entities in a much easier way. So these are the main gaps that are covered by field translation in D7, and obviously the fact that we are dealing with any entity and not only with nodes.
Right. Okay, so the second beta of entity translation was just released at the end of November for Drupal 7.
Yes.
What kinds of updates were included with that, with the beta release?
Well, actually, Beta 2 was primarily a maintenance release. It was meant to fix some bugs that appeared after releasing the first beta, which was a huge release because we totally revamped the translation UI with respect to the previous alpha. And we had, though, a problem with the upgrade path from Alpha 2. And so Beta 2 included the fix for the upgrade path.
Gotcha.
And then it fixed some annoying bugs that we discovered meanwhile. So yeah. Right now it should be a pretty solid release, because we are trying to stick with the pattern that odd releases are feature releases, while even releases are just bug fix releases. So it should be actually pretty solid, enough solid to trust it, because we didn't commit features in it. So we are doing that in Beta 3, and then Beta 4 will be another probably bug fix release.
Okay. I didn't have this in the notes, but is there anything already committed and ready for the Beta 3 release when it comes out, or is the Beta 2 just so new that there hasn't really been anything done yet?
Well, we have, I think, a couple of features that have been committed after beta 2. If I recall correctly, there was one about extending PathAuto stuff to any entity. Right now we have only node integration for PathAuto, so that might be a good reason to try out the dev release. But I think aside from that one, we have just other bug fixes in the dev.
Cool. So then what kinds of things are left to do before a stable 1.0 release?
Well, actually, we have a roadmap. There is an issue. I don't know if you want to post somewhere the address. It's here.
Yeah, I'll post the link to the roadmap in the show notes.
Okay, and let's say mainly we have to cover some other integration issues, because actually one of the problems we had with entity translation was that initially it was meant to be only a UI on top of all the API that went in the 7 core. But when we finally had something to concrete to work on, we immediately understood that this was not going to happen so easily, because all the contrib space was not ready, let's say, to accept the new translation model. So we had to start and making entity translation more widespread, more popular, and in the same time we had to work on some integration issues on our side. So right now we have still some integration issues open, mainly field collection, and also a couple of core integration issues we weren't able to work on during the 7 core the Drupal 7 core development phase, and they are about taxonomy integration, which is working well, but the the term reference widget is not working with multilingual terms right now, so you have to enter the original values to get the autocomplete working. We are going to need to fix this one, and then we are going to probably fix the core search, which is not working in a multilingual way because nodes are not being indexed in a multilingual fashion.
Right.
But we are going to work on this one before release. And however, the search API is already working this around. So if you're using that one, you already have multilingual. Kind of working multilingual search.
Cool.
And yes, probably we will work on optimization. We will try to reduce the memory footprint by having more includes and stuff like that.
Cool. One of the recent translation management projects, I guess, is actually the translation management tool, or TMGMT. Does Entity Translation integrate or use that management tool?
Yes, actually, all the integration is made on the TMGMT site.
Okay.
Because it puts itself on a higher level with respect to entity translation, so it enhances the translation overview. It provides more complex workflows to limit translation to assign translation to translators and implement more advanced workflows. So yes, it's going to be supported, and actually TMGMT also supports the node translation approach, so it's fine whatever approach you take. You can have also mixed ones, because entity translation lets you choose which translation model you want to pick on a per content type basis. So you can have articles translated with entity translation, and pages translated with node translation, and TMGMT will let you will work with both.
Wow, cool! I didn't know that. Okay, well, let's jump into entity translation in Drupal 8, because it's actually been committed to Drupal 8 core now, so congratulations, yes. By the way. when did that happen?
Well, the main work was ready around September, but okay. Actually we had a long phase of refinement and polishment, and we had the main patch committed in San Francisco at Badcamp.
Hmm.
And we have a commit video, which I will share the the URL as soon as we end here. And it was the first one, I think, credits to Schnitzel, which is the guy who had the idea. Because in San Francisco, we had a commit photo when Rees, during his keynote, committed the Twig patch.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to be on the same level, and we had a commit video.
Nice.
And we had a great celebration. We were at dinner, and WebG committed the patch. So we had a great celebration. And yes, it happened at Badcamp. It was the perfect place because we had the time to identify all the follow-ups and prioritize them. So we didn't end up with a feature freeze, cutting off some of the issues.
Mm.
And right now it was extended, but we are mostly done with the feature part. We have still, I think, 20-30 follow-ups of refinement and polishment, mainly on the UX side.
Mm.
Also some basic stuff right on the API, but I think we'll be able to address them in the feature completion phase and the API cleanup phase. So
okay.
We should be pretty in a good fashion, in a good position to complete all the work.
Yeah, you mentioned the UX improvements that you're working on. How are translations actually going to be done in Drupal 8?
Well, actually, the translation part is going to be very similar to the one provided by the entity translation model.
Okay.
You will have a translation overview tab, which will be attached to any translatable entity. And on that tab, you will see all the available translation or all the available languages for which you can create translations. And then you will get a regular entity form, which is able to handle multilingual values. So we'll be able to enter values in the language you chose. And then you will have a far more advanced way to configure which is actually translatable and which is not, because you will have a totally revamped UI we are working on right now and which is close to be committed. Which will let you pick up the single fields that need to be translated, but it will provide same defaults. So you will have a list of all the entities and bundles available on your site, and you will enable each one of them. And when you enable a bundle, all fields will be automatically translatable, and you'll be able to choose which one need to be shared among translation. And this is according to WebGIC, this is her favorite patch in the 8, so I think it's going to be pretty cool on the UX side.
Cool. Awesome. Right before we started recording, you actually mentioned some other entity-related aspects that you guys ran into when you were getting entity translation into Drupal 8. Would you mind just talking about a couple of those?
Sure. We were a bit concerned in May, around May, because we didn't start any work on the UI yet, because we had to focus on many improvements on the API side, because actually entity translation in D7 works pretty well, but it relies on some hacks that we absolutely didn't want to reproduce in D8. So.
Hmm.
Our main achievement in the entity system, which is not related strictly related to translation, is form controllers. We built this API that lets you instantiate an entity form with very few lines of code, actually one, if you're lucky. So it's a unified way to spawn entity forms. and it's been widely adopted in all the 8 core. And now that we have configuration entities like views, is being used also in that, code. So yeah, I think this was a great achievement that we did as part of the 8MI, but that has more far-reaching consequences. And another great improvement on the entity level that we started to work, actually we proposed as part of the 8MI, and that was accepted and proposed in parallel by other initiative, was the ability to extend the fact that you are able to store values in a storage and oxide fashion from fields to entities, because right now you can store fields in any storage, but entities are still limited to the relational MySQL, a relational database. But right now we are working towards having storage agnostic entities, and we'll be able to have the whole entity stored in MongoDB or stored across the network in a remote storage. So we'll be able to totally encapsulate the access to data, and so we will be able to provide native multilingual storage among the rest, and this will ensure us that we will be able to provide native tools to developers to provide multilingual support out of the box. And this is pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, I had, I think, three questions that came in from Twitter. And I want to say right now, if you're listening live and you've thought of anything up until this point, go ahead and use the hashtag MUP049 and send those in, and we'll answer those in just a minute. The very first question I got, though, was from Transition on Twitter, and he said, how support for CJKV languages, like Chinese characters and such?
Okay. This is not exactly related with the stuff we worked on, because it's mainly about the ability of Drupal of dealing with these languages, and this is something that is not strictly related with translation, but actually with localization. Because also monolingual Chinese websites will need to deal with those characters and those languages. So I think the best way, the best place to find an answer to this question is the is Gabor Hoichi, the 8MI summary page, which is on his website, and in that page you will find all the issues that are working on in all the language-related areas. So you can find, if there is something that is being working on, you'll find it there. Or otherwise, it should be checked on the main Drupal core queue, searching for Unicode-related stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll include a link to that page in the show notes as well, which I guess I should say the show notes are going to be at modulesunraveled.com/podcast/049. So check that out to find out more about that. Let's see, the next one came from Kathy, yes, CT, and she said, or she asked, could it be said entity translation is a culmination of X months or years of work?
Well, let me first say hi to Kathy, because she was a great contributor in the entity translation UI issue, the one that got entity translation UI in core. And yes, the answer is yes. We actually started working on the G7 stuff, as was saying, in February 2009. And we had the first tagged release of the Drupal 7 entity translation in September 2011.
My goodness.
And yes, one year later we had the first patch in the 8 core. So yes, it was 3 years of work and more. Wow. We are still working on it. But We are making good progress, and we have a bright future in front of us.
Yeah, definitely. Man, that's awesome. That's a lot of work. I'm glad you guys are doing it.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then the next one came from Thomas Svensson, and he asks, will revisioning and staging work on Translations 2? Right now with Workbench moderation, only the original content is staged, not the translations.
Well, we've been working hard on coming up with a storage model that would allow us to deal in a sane way with also with the revision. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to deal with revision too. Actually, okay. we didn't start to work on that side yet, but we'll definitely do that in the API cleanup phase and feature completion phase. So I think that we'll probably be able to provide at least a basic support also for revisions. But I'm hopeful that revisions will be all on the same level, not matter which language we are dealing with.
Okay. Does that work in 777 right now if you use entity translation versus node translation? Or
actually, not exactly, because okay. In D7, when you create a new revision, a new node revision, you get a revision for each field, for each translated field. So you can have a different revision per language, but it's a bit difficult to provide support for editorial workflows where you use revisions to track continuous editing, and track drafts, track auto savings, and so on, because you create a revision for all languages. And this is something that is not going to change, I'm afraid, but we are probably going to provide more integrated support for revisions so that this might be less of a pain to fix in country.
Okay, cool. So not yet, but hopefully it'll be easier.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, those are all the questions that I had come in, so we are ready to just go ahead and move on to the wrap-up. And the first question I like to ask all my guests is just kind of fun to hear their answers, and that is there something that you're excited about that's up and coming that you're not working on yourself?
Well, definitely the configuration management stuff, because that one will provide us a unified way to configure, to store configuration, and that will make also translating configuration for easier, and it won't require us to write a different module or piece of code for each configuration object that we have, that like happens right now in D7. And Jose Reyero is doing a great work to provide to the 8 core the right tools to be able to translate configuration in the 8 contrib. So I think this is one of the greatest changes we are going to see in the 8, and the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah, it's going to make things really easy.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, where can people find out more about you and get a hold of you or find out what you're working on?
Well, actually, there is a decent page on DO in my profile where all my main contributions are listed. And then if you want to follow closely what I'm working on, there is my Twitter profile, that is twitter.com/pledge__, where I mostly tweet about entity translation and stuff, so you won't be overwhelmed by me talking about anything.
Cool.
And then you can, if you understand Italian, you can visit my website where there is a selection of the works of the stuff we're working on my day work.
Cool. All right, we'll include links to all of that in the show notes so you can find out how to get hold of them there. All right, Francesco, I think that's it. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, no problem. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Sure.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.